Hello, Minnesota boxing fans, and welcome to another episode of the Minnesota Fight Night podcast. I'm Brian Johnson, and my co-host is Sean Strauss. In this episode, light heavyweights Corey Thompson and Robert Calvin preview their December 3rd fight on the Ignite boxing card at the Hyatt Regency in Minneapolis. Minnesota boxer Thompson boasts a 4-1 record with 3 KOs. He faces a tough challenge in the person of Calvin, who is 2-0 as a professional, with both wins coming by knockout. A native of Chicago, Calvin now makes his home in Davenport, Iowa. I hope you enjoy the interviews.
Thanks for joining us on the Minnesota Fight Night podcast. I'm Sean Strauss. My co-host Brian Johnson is off today. I'm joined with Corey Thompson. Corey, thanks for joining us, man.
Hey, Sean, how you doing?
Pretty awesome, man. Pretty awesome. I'm excited about these upcoming fights that Ignite is putting on at the Hyatt Regency in Minneapolis. How long have you known about, you know, your fight? What can you tell us about your opponent? Break it down for us, man.
Yeah, I've known about my opponent for about a month now, a little over a month, actually. He is somebody that I knew previous to getting the name offered my way. I had kind of done my research and kind of knew who he was. So what I can tell you about him is he's had a pretty decent amateur career. He's 2-0 with 2 knockouts. He looks like he's pretty slick, but I really look forward to getting in with him.
Right on. Now, the last time we saw you, unfortunately, things didn't go your way at that Top Rank show. You got kind of pounced on and a headbutt, which, you know, caused a nasty cut. And that obviously makes things very difficult. How's that healing? You know, you have any issues with that, you know, in training or anything? Is just, you're good to go now, or?
Yeah, I know. I'm very thankful for what happened in my last fight because it taught me everything that I needed to work on. And yeah, I just came out cold and I learned a valuable lesson that night. So I'm a much stronger fighter now, much better now. And no, there's no issues with the cut. It opened up right away in the fight. Didn't really factor into it. I just lost the fight. So I don't look, definitely won't perform like that in the future though.
So yeah, your opponent's name, I'm looking at the picture here, is Robert Calvin. So from what you told us, it sounds like he's pretty slick. What have you been doing for your training? I know, you know, for listeners who aren't familiar with you, had an interview before where you broke down your story and kind of how you got into boxing and everything, and you run a gym, Nordic Warriors Boxing Academy. You know, last time, you know, you mentioned that Caleb Truax had come out and done some sparring. I think you had come into town here and done some too, but can you, you know, tell us how that's going this time? You know, who are you sparring with and so on and so forth?
Yeah. I revamped my training to cater my some other aspects of my skills, and it's really paid a lot of dividends. So I've sparred with Caleb once in this camp, and actually we're scheduled to spar on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. So I'm really blessed to be able to get work with a former world champion. So I also work with one of our boxers, Evan Wiener, who's only been boxing for a couple of years, but he's a heck of a prospect. And as a light heavyweight, he's 6'3". He just won a big title fight for Way of the Warrior at 178 pounds. He gives me good work. And then I got some work with Antonio Woods. It was great work. And then Chris Stewart as well. And both of them have trained and sparred with Robert, so I know what to expect.
Right on. Yeah, Cruz is one that I haven't met yet. I know about him, and, you know, I've been following him on social media and stuff like that over the years, but I've heard he's been around. And when I was over visiting Northside recently, one of the guys over there, Joe, was telling me, he's like, you should interview Cruz. And I was like, absolutely. Just waiting for that right to get him when he's got a fight coming up. Now, you mentioned Way of the Warrior, that tournament that was just going on, I believe, what was that, number 5 or number 6?
Number 6.
That was number 6. and for the listeners who aren't familiar, can you just talk a little bit about that? I don't want to gloss over that because that's pretty amazing. You guys put on this big tournament for your, yeah, your fight, bringing, you know, all these other gyms, and it looks like it's really top notch, you know, as far as like the belts given out and everything. It just looks really, really cool. And I saw amazing photos. So if, you know, listeners are interested in it, you know, check out Corey's or the gym site, and I'm sure there's tons of photos on there.
Yeah. So real quick, I just want to circle back to Cruz Stewart. That dude's really cool, man. He's really fun to be around, really funny, really laid back, and he's got skills. So I highly recommend you do an interview with him. He's a really good dude. Our Way of the Warrior events, they just go so awesome. I'm partnered with a man named Nick Rogers, who's a fantastic promoter, former MMA fighter, professional heavyweight title holder. And he just knows the right dynamics for these shows. So our philosophies for these shows are, we make these shows feel really special for the boxers. We put a lot of work into the promotion for it, into the event itself with lighting, doing interviews. And we put on very evenly matched matchups. And thank God we have a great USA Boxing crew that helps us put those shows on. And we just have amazing shows. So this last one, I think there was, we haven't got the final count, but I think between 700 to 800 people at the Fargo Air Museum. And Way of the Warrior, we're doing amazing shows. Look forward to doing pro in the future.
Awesome. So the show that you're on right now, getting back to your fight, the Ignite Boxing 1 card, it's headlined by Colton Warner and Tommy Matlin, a couple big heavyweights. Other than that, you know, we mentioned your opponent, but are you excited about any other, or I guess I should circle back. Prior to the interview, we were just touching base with one of your stablemates, Ryan. He's also on the card, and we're going to try and get an interview with him. Is he part of your training at all, or are you guys just, you know, just supporting each other? Are you able to get work together, or how's that going?
Yeah. So Ryan's story is, we used to box back in the day as amateurs, for separate teams. So we both knew who each other were. And then about 4 years ago, I realized he was in the area in Osakis. I got a hold of him, came down to the gym, and he became a coach. He just fell in love with the sport again. He had been off from boxing for some time after serving the U.S. military in a couple wars deployed. And so he's really come back and really added to the gym. He's like my best friend, but he's opposite of me. So he gives a good dynamic in the gym. And yeah, he's doing all the training that I do. And he's just super leveled up for this fight. He was able to spar Tony Lee this last weekend up in the cities, and that was just great work for him. So I look forward to him, to his fight, most of all, other than my own, maybe.
So how are things going in the gym otherwise? I mean, I know we talked about this in the past, but when you're training for a camp, you know, it takes a lot of dedication, first of all, but when you're a gym owner and operator, you know, we talked before about the people that support you and kind of keep the gym going, you know, while you're working out. If you want to just give maybe a rundown of who's helping you out, you know, who's in your camp and all that, just so we want to highlight those people that are supporting you.
Yeah. Well, I'm blessed to have an amazing wife that does so much for the gym. She does so much for me behind the scenes and, creating our shirts and our logos and a lot of different things like that. But we were blessed to also hire a general manager. So Teresa has been amazing for the gym, along with our coach Ryan, who has really helped us. And then we also have another coach, Kirsten Wessel, who is a USA Boxing official. She's also looking forward to having her first match as a master here in Las Vegas in January. So, yeah.
Oh, wow. Cool. Very cool. Yeah, we saw a Masters fight at the last Element show. I want to say it was Joe Roche. I can't. It was a guy from Rice Street. And then another guy that works out with Corey Rodriguez, Jeff Bassett. I can't remember Jeff's opponent's name. Jeff ended up not getting the decision, but that was his first fight in Masters. But it's always cool to see. I was chatting with some some guys that were former Masters boxers beforehand. Jack Kennelly, he's one of them. And I remember his fight at Uppercut years ago was a big deal when he fought Steve McComas. You know, Masters fights can be fun to watch. So, hope you know, good luck to her on her first fight out. You say that was in Vegas?
Yep, Las Vegas.
Wow. What a deal to have your first fight traveling to Vegas.
Yep. Yeah. She's 54 having her first fight, but she is tough as nails, you know, wakes up at who knows, 3 a.m, runs like 30 miles, you know. No, she really does get to work. She does a lot of work. She does swimming, running. She's a Phi Ed teacher, health teacher. And then she comes to the gym. She runs our fitness class and she comes to our boxing practice. So she's a go-getter.
You know, we're talking about those who support you. Now, the last time we interviewed you, you had a slew of sponsors, which is always great to see. You know, I don't think we see it enough. I mean, there's a handful of fighters that seem like that are successful in getting, like, you know, sponsors. And you're one of the ones that I, you know, would put in that category where I'm like, wow, like you actually had quite a few sponsors that last fight. You have any sponsors supporting you this time around?
Absolutely. Yeah, I got the same sponsor for my last fight, Lake Country Meats. So they had actually financed an expensive training trip for me out to Omaha, Nebraska, for me to get some good quality sparring in for my last fight. And even though it didn't pay off in that fight, it definitely leveled me up. And so they definitely stepped aboard right away. And they're on my team again, supporting me. I have Cody Thompson, the owner of Prime Attachments. Multiple times he's sponsored me and sponsored our boxing gym. He runs that skid loader attachment company in Garfield, Minnesota. He was a registered coach with us for a long time. And then now he runs the business completely by himself. He's not partnering anymore. So we don't see him in the gym as much anymore, but he's on my team as well. And then I got Jesse Trujillo with 100% Advisory Men's Haircuts. And that guy has just been on every one of my fights. He sponsored me. Right now he's selling my tickets and Ryan's tickets right at the barbershop. I mean, he's a great guy, great support. And he's just got an amazing shop. You know, he's got a pool table up in there, arcade machine, and it's just kind of a cool hangout spot.
Sounds like it. Yeah, the beard's still looking good.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm about to get it trimmed. I was going to get it trimmed with Jesse today, actually, but he was booked up.
I joke that, you know, I can't grow a beard like that. If you gave me 5 years, you know, you got a really good beard. It looks, I laugh too, because the top ranked guys, you know, like Tim Bradley and stuff, they were joking. Tim's like, I'd make him shave it, you know, if he was fighting you, because you can use it, you know, and rub against guys and stuff like that. It's interesting though, because you hear varying viewpoints on that. Like, I think it was Pacquiao and Margarito, and Pacquiao was like, I'll use it as a target, you know? So some guys, other guys, it's like, yeah, but no, it's looking,
yeah, that's sharp. My mentality is just get up to them and give them a good whisker rub. That's what I'm thinking. No, it's just, you know, it's just growing with me, and I like the look, and my kids like the look, and I don't want to lose it.
No, I don't blame you. If I could grow it like that, I would too.
Thank you.
You got the meats hat on, so that's one of your sponsors right there, right?
Yeah, Lake Country Meats. Oh. That was the one that highlighted my, or they had funded my training trip for my last fight. The Butch is the owner there, along with his wife, Tracy. And then his kids also work in the shop, Chandler and Lexi.
Now, I've never been to the Hyatt for boxing. And you might know a little bit about this, just because of, you know, working with a promoter to sell your tickets. When we were at Canterbury for the former Ignite night shows, they had like tables where you could sell and stuff. How is that working? Are you guys just selling individual tickets, or were you able to, you know, sell tables, or how's that working?
Yeah, we've sold quite a few tables. Me and Ryan are kind of partnering up to sell our tickets and tables, because at the gym, we don't want people having to choose who they're buying from, but we got at least 6 tables sold. And then, you know, a bunch of general admission tickets sold. I don't even know the amount that we're at right now, but I know that we're going to break I'm going to break the record for what I had last time. So
awesome. Yeah, it was a packed house. I mean, I think Brian and I both had commented about that, where it's Ignite's put on these great shows, and we felt like they were so packed. And I don't know if part of that's because of the rollover crowd that stays, you know, after like the Muay Thai and, you know, the martial arts part of the shows. But it was so packed in there. We felt like, man, they almost outgrew Canterbury. But I'm hearing that this venue might even be smaller. So I'm interested to see how that is. I'm like I said, I've never been there before. One of our interviewees we talked to, Ashkan Mervari, who's on the card, we spoke to him yesterday, and he had done some I can't remember if he said it was wrestling or mixed martial arts there once. So he had a little bit of experience being in the building. But he said it was kind of a cool little intimate venue, and he said it was nice. It looks like they haven't had boxing there since 2017, according to BoxRec anyway. So yeah, I'm excited, man. It's going to be cool. Anything boxing in Minnesota, I'm always excited about it, but close to home where I get to go, and I'm going to be front row. It's going to be fun. Now for fans that want to get your tickets, obviously they can contact you or Ryan directly, but it sounds like Nitro Tickets is the way to go online, find the event, Ignite Boxing One, find either you or Ryan if you want to be on your team, sit at one of those tables, and yeah, then that way I think you guys also get a portion of the ticket sales too, so make sure you select them. As far as streaming it goes, if you're not able to make it, it sounds like MMA Futures, which has been the consistent option. But it looks like Fight, the F-I-T-E app, is also going to offer it for the pay-per-view. It looks like it's $24.99. So that's another option if people don't want to make the long drive. Because I know you guys are out there a little ways in what, Alexandria, right?
It's not very far. Yeah, it's about an hour and a half really away. So, I mean, if you don't get too much traffic. Yeah, I hope, you know, most of the people can show up in person, because really there's nothing like seeing it in person. It really beats the video, but it's really nice that they're going to be streaming it for the people that can't make it. And now, also for tickets for our fights, we do have them at 100% advisory men's haircuts right here in Alexandria.
Oh, great. Are they at the gym too, or just there?
We keep them at the gym, so we have them at the gym as well.
Okay. Yeah, as far as that, I was mentioning the stream. I know the last time Caleb Truax did some of the play-by-play with one of the Ignite guys, I'm not sure if that's the case this time. So if anyone's interested in that, I don't have details. But right on, dude. I don't have too many more questions. I want to know how training's going, though. I mean, it sounds like you've gotten in some good work. It sounds like you feel good going into the Thanksgiving. You're not worried about your eating, so that's always good. So it means the weight's going to be on point. But are you doing anything different, or is it just kind of the same old, same old? I mean, you said that last fight taught you some things to work on. Was that more mentally, or was that, you know, stuff in the ring, like technique, or what? Can you break that down a little bit?
Sure. I won't go too deep into it, but we do this new reflex training that's really helped with muscle memory. And then I'm doing a lot more coordination work so that I can start my fight with accuracy and precision right away and don't have to wait, you know, and kind of develop the timing as we go. So it's really paid dividends.
Yeah, it's accuracy is huge, number one. But then I think the we were talking to Colton, and I don't know if you listened to that interview yet or not. And I think he mentioned it where he was talking about the guy that you were fought last time, which I'm drawing a blank on his name right now.
Dante Benjamin.
Yes.
Dante. What are you talking about at Ignite? Yep.
No, I'm talking about the top rank one.
Dante Benjamin.
Yeah. And he was just talking about how, you know, it's risky with doing what he did. And he didn't think it was necessarily more skill than anything, but he just, you know, jumped on you and got lucky, you know, with the headbutt, which stinks. Obviously, if you lose, you want to lose to punches and stuff like that and not have a cut or something like that messing you up. But yeah, like you were talking.
Well, he didn't get lucky. He beat me fair and square. But
no,
I appreciate that, though. But, you know, I think he realized that I had punching power, and I had assumed that once I touched him, he was going to be very apprehensive to try to get inside and fight me like that. But I never got a chance to really fight.
No, and I'm definitely not denigrating him at all. Like, he's very skilled, and there's a reason Top Rank is promoting him and pushing him as hard as they are. It sounds horrible to say, but he got lucky with the headbutt. Yeah, I mean, he might have had the same result, but it's a lot easier when guys got blood in his face, you know, and can't see. That's all I meant.
Well, he's never fought anyone else like that as a pro. So I definitely knew he felt me as a threat. So I hope down the road I can get a rematch against him.
Yeah, that'd be awesome, especially if you can get it here. I know Top Rank says they plan on coming back like once a year. I wish they'd come back more, especially since Corey Rapese and, you know, the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe, they do such a great job of getting Minnesota fighters on their cards. And, you know, we're very blessed to have not only them that do that, but the Ignite cards too, that are putting all these Minnesota fighters on the card. Now we've got some out-of-state guys on the card too. It looks like some guys from Illinois, some from Iowa. Do you know anything about any of the other fighters on there, you know, when you're looking on there? Or is it...
Sean, I'm a level with you. I am not following anything. I don't look on Facebook. I don't have a phone. Sure. I have 5 kids, and me and Ryan, all we do is train. So, you know, I made a sacrifice. Probably. I had to make a sacrifice when for everything else other than boxing in my life when I chose this career. So I really don't. I know some of the fighters that are on there. I know Ryan's opponent. I know Colton Warner, and I like a lot of those people too, but I haven't paid attention to any of the other matchups.
As far as the Ignite shows, I know we talked about the Top Rank one, but are you able to get like a hard copy or a download of the fights afterwards? You know, obviously you'd want one for yourself of your own fight, but I mean, just like of the whole card so that you can sit back and actually watch it, you know, because I know when you're behind, you know, the scenes and you're getting ready and getting taped up and stuff, you don't have time to sit there and watch the fights that are going on. And, you know, afterwards as a fan, maybe you wanted to see someone fight and then you didn't get a chance to. So are you able to go back and watch the fights?
Not really sure. Usually the commission keeps you back there, but hopefully they'll let me watch and be part of Ryan's fight.
No, I mean, like, once the fights are completely over, like, are you able to
get a
download, a digital download or like a DVD or something like that? You know, are you able to watch like the card, you know, afterwards once it's over?
Well, I was able to watch the last card. They have it right up on YouTube, but I didn't ask for a digital copy. That's actually something I was looking to potentially do with one of our, or with our photographer here from the gym. So I was going to see if our Leah guest was able to take a video of it. And just for me, I'd like to look on it in the years down the road.
Well, yeah, part of the reason I asked about, you know, that is because a lot of guys like to go back and watch their own fight in particular just to see what they can do different, you know, and learn and get better from. But in your case, and a lot of these guys, you know, you've got either stablemates or friends on the card. And like I said, you missed their card, you know, you missed their fight and you want to go back and watch and see how they did. Like, for instance, Ashkan is he's got a friend that's on the earlier portion. I keep saying Muay Thai, and if I'm wrong about that, I'm sorry, Ignite. I'm focusing more on the boxing portion, but there's like a mixed martial arts or a kickboxing or something before the boxing. And he's got a friend that's going to be there. So I think he's going to try and watch that. And it's early enough where I think he gets to do both. You know, he can do that and it's not going to affect his preparation for the boxing. But if you were friends like with Ryan, you might not get to see his fight. So that might stink, you know, and then you get to go back and watch it at least, you know, on video later. That's cool.
Yeah, I know we'll be in the back warming up together, chilling all day, but I would definitely like to be up front watching it in person. So we'll see.
Well, right on, right on. That's about all I got for you, dude. It's good to talk to you again. It's, you know, good to hear that things are going well. But yeah, I'm super excited. I'm sorry that Brian wasn't able to join us. He's on dad duty. You know, you mentioned you got 5 kids. He's got kids, and he messaged me, and, you know, I don't have kids, so I'm always like, yeah, whatever, man, that's cool. And if I've got something going on, it's usually niece or nephews, and I'm like not even a percentage of what you got going on with 5 kids. So thanks for making time, man. It means a lot, you know, as a gym owner, 5 kids, you're training for a fight, and you took time out. I really appreciate it, dude.
No, this isn't time not spent wisely. I appreciate you making the time for it.
All right, man. Well, you have a good one. I will see you fight night, and look for you backstage and maybe get a little quote for the post-fight episode.
Oh, great. I look forward to seeing you afterwards then. See you, Sean. Man,
have a good night.
You too.
We're pleased to be joined on the Minnesota Fight Night podcast with Robert Calvin. My name is Sean Strauss, and my co-host Brian Johnson's off today. But Robert, thank you for joining us, man.
I'm glad I was able to get into a meeting with you guys.
So we're going to talk to you about your upcoming fight for Ignite Fights. That's going to be held at the Hyatt Regency coming up on December 3rd. Yes, you're going to be facing off with Corey Thompson. Now looking at your box rack, it looks like you're originally from Illinois, but you're down in Davenport, Iowa now. Is that correct?
I grew up boxing in Chicago. Well, I started in Bolingbrook, moved around in Chicago for quite a few years. And then, as I got older, I moved to Iowa.
Right on. Now I saw you did a little, interview already with the guys from Ignite, which is cool. Cause I got to listen to that and hear a little bit about what you got going on. I heard you mentioned some guys you're sparring with, but I don't want to jump ahead. Since our local fans here might not be familiar with your story, can you just tell us how you got into boxing or combat sports?
Yeah, I got into boxing because I couldn't afford football. I came from a family with a lot of football players. And, me being the youngest, and, I had a parent who, Most of my family lived with other people. And, I lived with my uncle. He couldn't afford football, so he worked at a beauty salon, or he helped out at a beauty salon, I should say. He didn't work there. But right next door was the unemployment office, and in the unemployment office was the boxing coach. My first boxing coach, his name is Marcelo Valencia, out of Bolingbrook, Illinois. And it was like the day we found out I wasn't going to be doing football anymore. They started talking, and he was like, well, you can bring him down to the gym. I'll let him train for free. I'm looking for some guys to get started with. And that's how I started boxing. I hated it for like the first 2 weeks because it was a lot of working out. And then I got my first time to spar. I knocked somebody down. I loved it ever since.
Right on. So, in the amateurs, what was your experience like in the amateurs? Did you compete in any tournaments? Did you do any traveling?
I did compete in tournaments a lot when I was younger. As I got older, it turned into more show fights, just doing fights at local clubs, especially in Chicago, because it was very busy in Chicago. So, and then when you get older, you also have to start paying for stuff yourself. So I didn't do a lot of traveling when I got older. But as a junior, my first open fight was in the Silver Gloves. Okay. State tournament was my first open fight. I got a knockout. I went to regionals. I got a knockout. And then I went to nationals, and I lost by 1 point.
Whoa.
So that was
still, that was an awesome experience.
Yeah, that was when I was 15. And I will say back then, I didn't really know how to box. I just hit hard. So
where was Nationals at the year that you went there?
It was in Independence, Missouri.
Right on.
This is back when Louis Rios was the president of USA Boxing.
Okay. So, yeah, you said you were just hitting hard. So it sounds like you've branched out and worked on your game a little bit.
Actually, right after that fight, I started training in Harvey, Illinois at the Restoration Ministries Harvey Boxing Club. And that's when my whole boxing career changed. I learned the fundamentals. I started learning, actual technique and things like that, and focusing on that. And one of the main guys I was working with back then, when I joined that gym, his name is Alex Martin. I don't know if you know him or heard of him at all, but in the amateurs, he was on the USA team. He had the number two spot for 152. The only person he kept losing to was Errol Spence.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, now he's pro, and he, he's doing everything. He's doing his thing. I was younger back when he was, when we were sparring. I think he was like 21. I was like 15. So
Okay.
You know, our careers were at different times in different places.
So it says on BoxRec, this is going to be your third professional fight. Yes. What can you tell us about how that transition went? You know, when you were amateur and you decided to turn pro, how'd that come about?
Well, I definitely liked weighing in the day before. Honestly, I think I started taking it more serious because being an amateur, I really didn't care about my career. You know, I did it so long. I honestly got to the point, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but with amateur boxing, you get these books that you keep your fight in. And about every year, I lost my book. So, you know, to say what my real amateur record is, I don't know. Because I lost my book so many times. But I know I had about 80 fights. And I know I won at least 60 of them. Okay. You know, I've had a lot of fights. I've most of my experience comes from show fights. Like I said, I've done a lot of show fights. When I was a junior, that's when I did tournaments. But I wasn't open as a junior. I didn't turn open until like 15, 16.
So did you decide to turn pro, or was it like, did an opportunity sort of like present itself and then that kind of like, you know, spurred the decision?
What made me turn pro was actually, you know, I feel like I should have turned pro years ago because, you know, I'm 28 now. And I think I started my career a little late, but I was nervous about stepping into the pro ranks. And, you know, just when you get to that level, it's serious and your record and everything matters. And that's what I was always nervous about. I wanted to make sure I was ready. 2019, I fought the Golden Gloves. I won the Golden Gloves. And I was planning on going back for 2020, I'm sorry. COVID happened. Amateur boxing took a hit. So
big time, yeah, big time.
I made my move to the pro ranks, and I was signed with the promotion at first, Extreme Maximus, and I'm not here to diss or anything like that. I had my first two fights with them, went how I expected it to go, and then it seemed like after those first two fights, every fight that I was getting was getting backed out. I wasn't able to get any fights to stick. Every fighter was backing out. The promotion didn't have backups. You know, everything was just failing. So I ended up getting out of my contract to so I can, you know, kind of do my own thing. You know, I'm like I said, I'm 28. So now it's like the pace where your career, you're either going to make it or break it. I'm trying to make something out of it. I've been boxing my whole life. I started in 2008. And, you know, it's just not a dream I'm willing to let go of yet.
Okay. So I got
daughters. They're all counting on me.
Say again, how many daughters you got?
Well, I have three total. I have another baby on the way. I'm hoping.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. I'm hoping for a boy, but I think it's going to be a girl, honestly. And all I care is that it's a healthy baby.
I'm the youngest of six kids, and I'm the only boy. And so I think my dad would probably relate with you. He's like, the girls are awesome, but he was like, come on.
I'm the other three and I'm the only boy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So we can relate.
Yes, sir.
So the Ignite card. Now I know those guys, they seem like, I don't know if they're like 100% based out of Illinois, but I know they do a lot of shows there. How did you get tied in with them? You know, how did they approach you, or were you friends with someone that was on one of their cards? Or
actually, I guess there's multiple ways because my manager actually set up the fight for me.
Okay.
But as far as you know, connections, is I do have some of my own connections as well to the same people. Eric Hintaker. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it wrong.
I think it's Hinderocker.
Oh, but,
and if I said it wrong, Eric, I apologize. But yeah, I believe it's Eric Hinderocker. But,
we actually have mutual friends, and he's the one that really stepped up and helping me out get on this card. But actually, one of his fighters is the reason I have this.
Which one?
Cruz Stewart.
Oh, see, I haven't actually met Cruz yet. I know about him. And really? I was just talking to a buddy of mine recently, and he was telling me I got to interview him. And when I was speaking to your opponent, he was also telling me that I need to interview him. He said he's a really cool dude.
You know, and it's a long story about or behind it too. So literally, it was the day he came down to the gym. You know, Cruz travels from when we were sparring in Iowa, he would travel a distance to come for sparring. And it was the day I didn't know he was coming. He was coming to spar someone else. And as soon as he got there, someone else he was coming to spar left. So I didn't have a mouthpiece. He needed 8 rounds. We got 8 rounds in. The last 30 seconds of the 8th round, he caught me with a straight right hand and cracked my tooth.
Ooh.
So that's the story behind the tooth.
Well, me,
there's... have a strong relationship. I look up to Cruz a little bit. You know, he's definitely a good guy. I like seeing him move through the ranks. When before I even turned pro, I saw him move through the ranks a little bit and seen the moves that he was making. I actually look up to him and Tony Woods.
Well, the tooth adds character.
I fought Tony at least twice in the amateurs.
Oh, really? You fought Tony Woods in the amateurs?
Yeah. We're real good friends.
We've had him on the podcast. He might be our most frequent guest on the podcast, actually. Yeah. We've had him on like 4 times. I figured you knew him since I saw the Iowa connection there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a transplant up to Minnesota, but we claim him as our own now since he's up here. But I know he's got strong, with Golden Gloves all down there. And right. That's where he got his start. So, I was just joking about the tooth because we've got a guy who's actually headlining that card, Colton Warner, and he's missing a tooth. But I think he's got like a little piece that he puts in that'll like fill it in, the fake tooth. But when he was on Top Rank recently, he had he can't wear that when he's fighting. So he had it out and the camera zoomed in on him and he made the face so you could see the missing tooth. Right. And all the top rank announcers like Tim Bradley and stuff, they're all like, man, check that guy out. Like, I don't know if you want to fight a guy missing a tooth. And right. They're like, he's embracing it. And they had his fans had all these big, like giant versions of a head of him on a stick. And right. it had the picture of him missing the tooth on it. It was really funny. But anyway, getting back to you and your fight. Now you've got, like I said, 2 fights under your belt. What can you tell us about how that went? Has it gone? Like, I know you mentioned with your former promoter, like it went how you thought it would, but like in the fights themselves, like, did that go how you thought it would? Or
everyone says you're not supposed to be nervous. I get nervous every fight, and it doesn't matter if who's in the ring. It's just, stepping up to new level, and every fight is, you never know, anything can happen. I pray to God before every fight because I don't only pray for my safety. I pray for my opponent's safety because either way we do it, this is a sport. At the end of the day, I don't want to see anyone die. I don't want to see anyone get damaged or anything like that. That's not what it's about. But I will tell you, if you're in the ring with me, I'm going to give you hell. I'm going to give you, you're going to have to work to beat me.
Yeah, we definitely we can relate to that sentiment about, we never want to see anyone get hurt. I know right now everyone here in Minnesota, we're still praying for Eidos after that Armory card, the guy who fought David Morrell Jr. and ended up in it was a medically induced coma. And it sounds like he's out of it now, but there's still like not really a lot of news on how he's doing. So hopefully he's doing well. But yeah, you're no joke, man. It's in the ring. It's war. So you're coming to bang. So that's awesome. Corey, be ready. Other than that, for the fans who aren't familiar with you up here in Minnesota, I want to give you a chance to, talk about where you're training, give you some shout outs to the people helping you that are, your sparring partners, stuff like that.
Right. Sparring partners for this camp, I've been sparring with Vershawn Lee. He was the last person I sparred with. He's on the USA team. Different weight classes, but he gets some of the best work out here that I can possibly get. Outside of him, Limberth Ponce. Sorry. Limberth Ponce. And then Chino Hill. It's been my main 3 sparring partners. My gym I'm training out of is Rock Island Boxing Club. I love it down there. I train with Ramsey Vesey. Great trainer, probably one of the best I've worked with. He pushes me, brings the best out of me, and he's even changed my style a little bit.
Is that who's coming up and working your corner for you, or do you know who's coming with you, or are you getting people from up here, or how's that going?
USA's he said he has a USA fight he has to go to that weekend.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, you're good.
He has the USA fights to work that weekend with his sons, so he won't be able to make it. But I do have I have my manager that'll be in my corner, one of my old coaches, and I have my he's my yoga instructor, but he massages me, gets me ready for my fights. You know, just make sure I'm relaxed, make sure I'm not tense at all.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned how you get amped up and nervous before a fight. I think a lot of fighters do, and rightfully so. You know,
it comes with it.
Yeah, I guess I've never asked. We've had a lot of fighters on, you know, the podcast, and I've never really addressed that. But staying relaxed in the ring and not, you know, being tense, even though you want to be ready and, you know, be sharp. Is that something that's taken time for you to learn, or, you know,
I would say at first, yeah, but I mean, I've been so used to being relaxed in the ring now that it's helped me with other situations in life. Boxing has taught me a lot, even just about myself. And that's why I think, when it comes to actually putting kids and stuff in boxing, it is a good thing, because a lot of kids don't know how to handle emotions. Boxing taught me how to handle my emotions and how to be able to think inside my head and react to things the way I need to. When I'm in the ring, no matter what the situation is, I don't panic. I'm good. No matter what, I'm going to be good in the ring. Like, that's my mindset.
I didn't look to see on your record, you know, if you had only fought orthodox or not. I believe Corey's normal orthodox right-hander. Have you fought southpaws? You're a right-hander too?
Yeah.
So we're not going to have to worry about that. That's good. You know, normally with an opposing right-hander versus left-hander, maybe we get some clashes of heads or stuff like that. So especially if you guys are both going to be going for it.
I know it happens in sport.
Yeah, unfortunately, it happened to Corey in his last fight.
Headbutted,
and it was gnarly. I know Tim Bradley was freaking out. It was maybe not funny for Corey, obviously, because he had got the cut. But Tim, he's sitting there wearing the suit that his mom had got him, and he was getting blood all over him ringside. And he's like, man, he's like, my mom got me this suit. I felt bad for Tim Bradley. But that's got to be part of the sport for those guys sitting ringside.
Yeah.
But right on, dude. So we talked a little bit about your camp. It sounds like things are going good. You know, you got good people in your corner and good sparring.
Sure.
As far as coming up, you know, you're not that far away being down in Iowa. You planning on just coming up the day of the fight, or how does that work? You come up the day before?
I'll probably be leaving Friday morning, because weigh-ins are at 2:30.
Okay, so you guys are going to weigh in on Friday, and then fights are on Saturday? Yep. Okay. And if I remember right from your Ignite fights, it sounded like you were sitting about 5 pounds over when that interview was done. So it sounds like Thanksgiving didn't do a number on you, and you're okay.
Yeah. Actually, Thanksgiving was the hard part. Now the rest is easy. I got past Thanksgiving.
Right on.
I had to visit 3 different people in Chicago, but I got about 1 plate down, and that's all I was able to, you know, let myself have.
Well, the last thing I wanted to do, Robert, is just give you a chance, say thank yous, you know, to anyone who's been helping you, your family, your friends, whoever. But yeah, I mean, the last part is yours, man.
I want to give a big shout out and thank you to actually the guys whose house I'm at right now. He's my personal trainer and my mitt man. His name is DJ McHenry. He owns a business called The Training Ground. And he's done a lot for me, even with like pre-camp stuff, before I even had accepted this fight, you know, making sure my mobility and stability is good, and little drills like that, just making sure I'm not getting out of shape, not feeling old or anything. So he keeps me ready. As you know, when they say don't get ready, stay ready, he keeps me ready. And then I want to thank my actual coach, Ramsey Vesey, because he also made sure I stay ready. He made sure I'm ready for this fight, and I appreciate that. He's doing a lot for me, and just been great. And I also want to give a shout out to my first boxing coach, Marcelo Valencia from Bolingbrook, Valencia Boxing for getting me into this sport, because 2008, you changed my life, and I love where I'm. I love my life now. I could have been a whole different person.
Well, that's awesome, dude. Well, thank you so much. I mean, it's huge for me to get the chance to meet you and to bring your story to our listeners. And thank you for being a road warrior, you know, coming on the road. You know, we love our Minnesota boxers here, but it's always nice to, you know, hear who the opponents are who are coming in, because we don't just want to see Minnesota fighters fight Minnesota fighters, you know, and out-of-state fighters, you know, coming in. It's just great. So, and especially around the holidays, you know, I know it's not easy. So thank you for doing what you're doing. And I just reached out to, you know, to you today, and literally like less than an hour ago, it seems like, and now we're having an interview. So can't thank you enough for making time, dude. That's awesome.
Oh, thank you for the chance. I really appreciate it.
Awesome. Well, dude, I will see you. I will not be at the weigh-ins, unfortunately, on Friday. I have to work, but I will see you fight night, man. Me and my co-host Brian will be sitting ringside, and hopefully we get a chance to shake your hand and maybe get a post-fight, you know, quote or something.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, you have a good night, and I will see you come fight night. All right.
Yes, sir. You have a nice night as well. Thank you.